one scene, it's like very slow and like shambolic, like, you know, it can barely move on these
because
fucking tiny little legs it has.
There's no reason for it to do anything faster.
And then the next fucking
scene,
it's like sprinting across the fucking floor, like doing whatever. It doesn't make
Nick,
any fucking
that's
sense.
That's any killer doll movie. That's every killer doll movie.
And that's why all killer doll movies are fucking stupid.
That's why you're fucking stupid. You're not even, dude. Seriously, you have to think beyond. You have to think beyond that.
No, you don't have to think beyond it. You have to establish fucking rules in the movie and make it work.
You don't. You don't. You don't have to establish shit. The audience is not there for fucking rules to be established. The audience is there to be entertained, just like the Transformers movies.
All you have
just
to
like
do,
any
if
other
you
movie.
Want to, if you want me to buy this,
no.
If you want me to buy this logically,
I don't care if you buy it or not.
Then when
it,
he
I'm
gets
saying...
the fucking doll, then what you need to see the doll doing when he first fucking buys it is moving around quickly, like, holy cow, oh, Chucky, I didn't know you could move that quick, or whatever.
But it,
like,
but it doesn't
need,
go
you
evil.
You need to establish that kind of thing.
But it does not go evil. It does not go evil until the most iconic moment in the entire movie.
It doesn't fucking matter if it goes fucking evil or not.
Stop.
Going evil
Stop.
Doesn't make it fucking
Stop.
Run fast.
Stop. Stop.
The Epic Film Guys Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special minisode release here on normal release day, because it was Terror Tuesday, and it's way too late to record a full episode of the Epic Film Guys podcast, and I feel like episode 200, gentlemen, deserves better than motherfucking Child's Play.
Hey, you
We're
keep
gonna get
quiet
into
now.
It. No.
You watch
you
yourself.
Hush your mouth.
You watch yourself.
I, of course,
now.
Am Nick. We are the Epic Film Guys. I'm Nick, and I'm joined by not one, but two co-hosts.
Nick, we have not one Epic Film Guys, but two. Not one, but two. That makes it plural, as in two Epic Film Guys. Like, if you had two dogs, you didn't say, I have a dog, I have two dogs.
No, it's just dog.
God damn it, Loisauce.
Dog.
So that just goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, after weeks of him completely ignoring us, after weeks of him skipping out and saying, I'm too good for you, Loisauce, the god of podcasting, is back. He's here.
He really wanted to talk about Child's Play. I feel like that's really what it was.
Well, let's make no mistake. I know I'm better than you.
Boom. He is the god of podcasting.
But I figure I should grace you with my presence, because I am the god of podcasting after all. Because who in this universe would give a better Child's Play review than me?
I think he wants the belt.
He's got it.
I think he wants... I have the belt sitting on my lap right now. I'm just going to pull it out right now.
Hit him with it.
He'll be beat so hard. He'll be tarnished for...
You're not my dad.
God damn it.
I'm not even pushing the buttons, man. I'm not even pushing the buttons on the soundboard. But ladies and gentlemen, yes, we are... episode 200, we're going to do a couple other things. Production-wise for the show, and unfortunately, we just could not get it in recording-wise this week, but we still wanted to bring you a little bit of EFG goodness. So, those of you who have already left us voicemails for the 200th episode, again, it doesn't have to be anything good. You can just shit on us for 2 minutes straight.
And also, tell us where you think Loisauce hides his socks after they're crusty, disgusting, and they have white jizz oozing off of them.
As
we
opposed
want to, know
to other
you-
colors of jizz?
I mean... I don't know what else he puts on them. I mean, there's plenty of other fluids he could wipe off.
Justin, why are we recording after midnight on a Tuesday?
Hey,
that's
you
because
over there.
Wow.
It has nothing to do with the Hopester. What it has to do with
are you
is
sure?
that tonight at Alamo Drafthouse, D.C. area, Ashburn, we had our
you
second
like to call
session
me the Hopester.
Of Terror Tuesday. That's right. Put in a hashtag there. Hashtag Terror Tuesday. Tonight, Loisauce, we showed Chopping Mall, and it was a fucking blast, and we had an awesome turnout, didn't we?
Over 50 people came to see Chopping Mall, the Alamo Draft House.
I look like shit, and I smell like shit, and the urine I've been pissing on myself for 10 years.
Wow.
That's absolutely true. And I think a lot of it has to do with you, Justin, and how passionate
Boo.
You are about Terror Tuesday and
Boo.
How much you've been plugging it.
Well, I've been plugging it pretty hard all over the EFG spectrum. Who knows what Nick's been posting about it on the Twitter sphere, because he's probably like, yo, don't go see this motherfucker. He sucks. All these movies he's going to program sucks, and don't pay any attention to him. But
literally,
well, I'll tell
literally
you what,
always.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chopping Mall is a cinematic masterpiece, and Justin, you and I may be talking about it on...
Oh, a B-side? Don't even mention that word to Nick, because he's just going to yell at us. He's just going to yell at us.
This is happening for real.
It can't be a recurring thing on the show if you only do it once every 6 months.
Or actually, once a year.
Come on. It's been more than 6 months since the last one. Never mind.
I think we're going to tie Terror Tuesday into B-sides.
We're going to try to do that, ladies and gentlemen. But yes, I just wanted to thank each and every one of you.
Should be good. Do remotes or something. Just live pieces from the theater. Whatever. Get some stuff. Get some material.
Nick, I did get a video of the one girl because we did a chant tonight. We do like a toast or whatever at the end of, we get a group photo in front of the background that I make. And there was one girl, a straggler, that did not want to be in the photo. And everyone was down there in front of the background. And I was like, yo, you're the one straggler. I'm on the microphone. She can hear it. I'm like, you need to get down here right now. She was eating a piece of pizza and she actually came down for the group photo. So we had the whole group of people in front of the background, so it was a pretty awesome experience. Everyone had a really good time, and it was a huge blast. People were clapping and cheering during the movie, so definitely.
So it was exactly the opposite of a screening of Child's Play 2019.
How many people were in your audience?
Yeah, Nick? I'm curious.
Not many, maybe a third of a theater full.
Okay, I had two people. But then again, it was a matinee on a Tuesday, so. Justin, what about you?
I saw it.
Fuck off.
There was like maybe 12 people in
Who
the theater.
Who got the poster pissed off tonight? He's ornery.
Yeah, somebody no, riled I, him actually, up. I heard a rumor earlier, Nick, that when I was sitting outside having a beer after Terror Tuesday, that he was out there walking around trying to harass the rich people that go to that makeshift bar that's supposed to be like a hot club for young
those
millennials.
Epic fail fucking what? Dudes.
Like
hey.
Bar Louie, right? Isn't Bar Louie supposed to be like this hot bar for millennials? But it's not really. It's just like a glorified Applebee's.
Let me tell you, Bar Louie is the worst place on earth. Let's make no mistake here.
But that's why the Hopester wants to hang out there. He thinks that he can get free beer, free food, free whatever it may be, cock, pussy, asshole.
Anyway,
I don't even know.
So...
I haven't
Child's
been late
play.
In 25 years.
2019.
The hole in the wall, you know, the toilet. I don't even know. He may be sticking his dick in the hole in the sink in the bathroom.
Everything about this conversation is infinitely better than anything about Child's Play.
Yo, oh, no. So listen, come on. Listen here. Keep quiet, you. Keep quiet. We might as well just get right into it right now. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a mini-sode. There's no what are you drinking or anything. And as you know from previous episode, that Nick is sober.
That's true. 2 weeks strong today, so I've got my La Croix.
I'm proud of you, Nick.
This is whoever sent me these out there in EFG listener land. Thank you. I'm gonna make a post over in the dumpster at some point. Just thanking you as well. But yeah, sent me like 2 12-packs of this and a 12-pack of.
Well, thank me for Celsius. Drinking them in January when I was doing my detox and my.
Is that what it was?
Alcohol.
No one's thanking you, Justin.
Shut up. Keep quiet, young man, or Daddy will whoop you with the belt right now. You don't want to be whooped, do you? I'll make you red till you won't see tomorrow. I was drinking LaCroix in January.
Before it was cool. They're great.
I drink them every day. But ladies and gentlemen, we're not here to talk about sobriety. We're not here to talk about beer tonight. We're here to talk about
LaCroix.
Movies. Those movies. And we're going to be talking about the new Child's Play remake that came out in theaters last week that, as of this week, Loisos is going to actually be going head-to-head with another evil doll, which is Annabelle. It's going to be in the third movie in the Annabelle universe, which is connected to the Conjuring universe, which is kind of like an ongoing thing now. They've kind of taken James Wan and what he did with the first Conjuring, and they're making their whole cinematic universe out of it the same way that DC and Marvel have done. And Annabelle's in theaters right now. So
in Universal Chucky's, with the Dark Universe, no,
kind of tried. They cast everyone in that. Nick. They had the whole. I mean, let's try not to remember that
Johnny Depp.
Oh God. Yeah. Well, hey, guess what? The cool thing about that, Nick, is you being a Handmaid's Tale fan, Elizabeth Moss is our new Invisible Man technically, from what we've heard. So
wait,
she's,
what? Really?
Yeah, she's heading the new Invisible Man movie. Where have you been, Lysos? Too busy digging in the dirt in your backyard? Who are you burying back there? Yeah, so the Universal Monsterverse, in quotations, air quotes, if you will, may be going in a better direction than where it was going prior to the Mummy reboot. We're not talking about
that. Can we talk about Child's Play?
We're going to. We're going to. We're going to. Nick brought up all of that, so we're going to get into it. And we're going to leave Nick out of the conversation.
You know what it is? You know, he just wants to hear this. He, before we get started, he wants to know that we're not going to spoil it. So, all right, Loisos.
Build that wall. Build that there, wall.
He just wanted
build
to hear that.
Build that wall. Build that wall.
This is why he doesn't come back after a few weeks. We scare him away. We play the Trump
sound. What sound clip would you put in place of that? What would you rather have to hear?
It's building the spoiler wall. You can't replace it.
You know what I'd replace it with?
Now you go and die.
Boy Sauce, we are about to get into our mini-sode review of Child's Play, which is a remake of Don Mancini's classic slasher film from the 80s. That film that Nick loves to hate on because he doesn't like anything to do with killer dolls.
I just got
anything.
Done taking a massive shit.
Yes.
That's appropriate.
The original Child's Play came out in 1988, so this film is actually not far off from being at the 30th anniversary of Child's Play coming out in 2019. Boy Sauce, for those of our listeners out there, for those of our fans that are unaware of what Child's Play is all about, tell them what the new movie is.
It's about a killer doll.
Right.
So right. this is a different take, an updated take on the 1988 film, going in a decidedly different direction. This is not Charles Lee Ray, the serial killer, putting his soul into a Chucky doll. This is a decidedly more artificial intelligence, you know, technology based.
This is when Alexa goes bad. That's what
basically,
it is.
Except in an adorable little doll, a little buddy doll, voiced by Mark Hamill, taking over from Brad Dourif from the Don Mancini series. And a lot of fans were in an uproar because Don Mancini has been kind of the forward thrust of the Chucky franchise. He's written every single film in the franchise up until now. So there was a lot of doubt from fans about this new direction that the remake was going in and the fact that Don Mancini has no involvement whatsoever. So I'm going to pass it over to you, Justin, because you're the fan, you're the horror fan.
Honestly, from the start, from the beginning, when this was announced, I was totally all about this. I thought, you know, the Child's Play series in general needed something fresh to be added to it. And now, obviously, they've already announced that they're doing a series with sci-fi, which is going to be headed by Don Mancini, who created the Chucky character and created the Child's Play series in general in 1988 with Tom Holland behind, you know, one of my favorite horror directors of the 80s. He only did a few movies, but he directed Fright Night. So that's enough for me. But for this series, I feel like there was a fresh requirement necessary to make it something valuable to modern audiences. And I kind of liked the idea of making modern technology evil. Now, is that Child's Play? Well, you can decide on your own whether it is or not. For me, all it matters is if it's an evil doll or not. If it looks like Child's Play, if it sounds like Child's Play, it's Child's Play. And overall, I walked into this movie with zero expectations. And I can see Nick's face right now, but I don't care. Evil doll movies are few and far between in the sense of where quality comes in. And I felt like the Child's Play remake was way better than I expected it to be.
Let's make no mistake here. The Child's Play films are not high art.
They're not. It's not Shakespeare. It's not Halloween. It's not even Friday the 13th, but it has its fan base. It's got a large following in the horror community. A lot of people went to this new movie with their Chucky doll. Nick, we know you hate the original Child's Play. We know you hate all of the sequels that you've seen. But for me, I've grown up with them. I like a lot of bits and pieces of all of them, and I love the original. And actually, I think Bride of Chucky is like it's underrated. It's a great comedy. It's a great dark comedy. So for me, this movie surprised me overall.
Nick? Are we going to hear it? Where's the theme?
Just
Where's
waiting.
The theme?
I fucking hated this movie.
Oh, no. Of course.
Fuck it, man. Now, it's not to say, like, I thought the kills were really inventive, and I want to talk about those later.
Okay, there you go. That's the all kills I need were to really hear. Inventive. That's all I need to hear. That's all
the
I need to hear.
The kills were really inventive, which I really, really enjoyed. And, I mean, there's a logical problem I have with this type of film in that it's a fucking doll. It's a fucking doll, and I can't get, like, past the idea. So what they do is they just kind of make the doll do whatever the plot requires it to. And one of the biggest, I'm going to, like, out of the fucking gate about this, but one of the biggest problems I have with this fucking doll is, why is this doll a bestseller doll? Because this thing looks horrifying. Horrifying. The dead-eyed fucking stare of the doll in the fucking box. The shape of it's fucking weird. Why are the cheeks so fucking big? Why is the forehead so fucking big? Like, the face is even fucking shaped weird. Like, no child would look at this and be like, oh my god, I have to have it. It's Bunny.
You know what, Nick?
It
we're going to get like into this right now.
Fucking terrifying.
We're going to get into this right now. I'm going to cut you off immediately because this is something that was a very clear discussion in the horror community, especially with Child's Play hardcore fans. No one liked the look of the doll. No one liked the new design, and myself included. I did not like the way the doll looked. I thought it was stupid, but I'm going to give the production team this, Nick, and I'm sure you'll appreciate this, and you'll have to give it points in the end of your review.
Will I?
Is that 90% of the doll stuff is animatronic. It's practical. They only use CG shots when they absolutely need to. So this doll they designed was designed to have the eyebrows move up to the top of the forehead, the smile move from side to side. It's all animatronic. They enhance it with CGI, but they're doing something that's new that we haven't seen in a while. Like in the original Child's Play movies, they could only do so much, and now they've enhanced it, and they're like, hey, fans, we know what you feel about animatronics. Let's make this the best that we possibly can and add CG to enhance it. But it didn't look bad to me. Like, the doll sucks. The doll design sucks. I think it sucks. Seriously, it looks stupid. I get it. I agree with you 100%. But maybe they designed it purposely so they could get the biggest grin they wanted to get, the biggest eyebrow movement they could get. I feel like overall, the double-edged sword is more on the positive for me. I didn't really mind it all that much. Let's face it, Chucky never looked, for me, outside of Bride, where he looked like an evil, awesome motherfucker, he never looked all that great to me.
I also think the design might be partially intentional to give that kind of off-putting, uncanny valley effect. Like, you guys know Sophia, the robot Sophia, how face resembles a human face, but the movements are not quite all there. So maybe that's what they were trying to go for with this design. But the face is weird and plasticky and like kind of misshapen. There's that great scene in the film, though, where young Andy Barclay, played by Gabriel Bateman, is trying to teach Chucky how to look scary. And his face is like contorting, and the eyes are kind of going half open, half closed, and the mouth is going in.
He looks drunk for a moment there. He looks like he just got done doing like 5 shots of whiskey with the Hopester and like 3 PBRs.
So there is that sense that it's trying to resemble a human face, but it's not quite there yet. Like, I think that might have been intentional.
I mean, I appreciate the practical effects. I really do, even though I have a huge, huge problem like with what that does for the doll itself, and we'll talk about that momentarily. But I just, the doll, like, for me, if you want me, movie, to buy into the logic, like, watching the original Child's Play film, I can look at the original, like, good guy doll or whatever it is in Chucky, and like, I could see, like, because it's kind of a cute-ish doll before it becomes a serial killing murderer motherfucker.
Well, it's a My Buddy. It's basically like a ripoff of the My Buddy doll that
right,
we had
but
in Nick O'Neill's
Kids. It actually looks like something. Like, this thing looks horrifying. Like, no one would want this thing. And like, it's great that, okay, they animated it. They made it all as much practical as they could. And I appreciated that when I watched the movie. But logically, from a logical standpoint, I can't believe that anyone, like, it's like in the movie, they have the Buddy 2 is about to be released, and they have bear versions of it. They also look fucking terrifying. They look horrible. Horrible. Like, from a design standpoint, they just look terrible.
Nick, my only thing that I have to say to you about this is, like, how many cars people drive today that they buy brand new and they look awful? Yeah.
I mean, it just does not look good. Like, you know what looks good? Like, the Buddy 2, like, the person looks way better from an aesthetic standpoint, like, compared to the regular one.
Moving past that, kind of the cool new element that they've introduced into these movies is the idea that this doll taps into, like, your home security, your television, your phone. It kind of goes into the whole idea of the cloud and everything's connected. And I thought that was a really interesting concept to introduce. What did you think of that idea?
I thought it was, but I think you could have done more in terms of, like, it's almost as if the film wants to make a commentary on being so connected, like, you know, having everything so connected, but it kind of stops short of doing so. And I think the film's only 90 minutes, so it really doesn't spend any time to try to delve into anything like that. But I like the idea, and I like that they updated it modern technology-wise. Like, it makes sense. Like, I don't want to see a goddamn serial killer possess a doll. I don't care. It's dumb. It's
You've seen the it whole, done.
It's a vehicle to get you to watch a doll murdering people. That's all any of this is. So...
Right, so the kills, you said, were entertaining and effective.
The kills were fine.
That's why we go see these movies.
The kills were fine.
That's the entire point of these movies, though. And again, this is just, as you said, perfectly, it's a vehicle to get you from point A to point B. And my criticisms are going to come in here next, so we might as well move along with it. The first act is extremely slow. We get to meet Andy, and I would have thought that Aubrey Plaza would have been, I would have felt that she would have been great in the role. Unfortunately, I feel like the character is underwritten, and I don't really like
the character's
like that
very
character.
Underwritten. I think she does the best she can with what she's given.
She does, but she's very unlikable. I mean, there's no likable character in this movie other than Andy himself.
Well, here's, you know what the problem is? You know why she's unlikable is because she, but like she's fine when you first meet her, but then all of a sudden when you meet like her douchebag boyfriend, who I don't even see that at all. Like they don't even have chemistry together. Like
how,
it's just the weirdest casting.
Tell me this. How the hell? You just tell me this. How is a chick that hot banging a dude that ugly?
Yeah, he
like
legitimately he is batting so far out of his fucking weight class with
he
her.
He must have like a 14 incher
for starters.
I'm just
he's so far out of his weight class with her is number one, and number two, he's such an asshole, and she's just so like laissez-faire about the whole thing, about him just being a colossal fucking piece of shit. It just instantly, it makes her a worse character by proxy. Like, by the time you get to the climax of the movie where she's in danger, you don't care because she's been such a shitbag, and like she allowed this piece of shit to come into her home all the time.
I'm going to say this much, though. It's nowhere near the level that we didn't care in Godzilla King of the Monsters. Of Vera Farmiga's character in that movie.
They try,
it's nowhere near that level.
They try to do some character development. They try to give you character information and character moments to try to connect you to these characters. But the problem is the film's also only 90 minutes long, so it doesn't give you a lot of it. Like, you get the most out of Andy, and I think he's easily the best character in the film because obviously the film's about him, ostensibly. It's just... Yeah, the film just doesn't give any of these other characters a whole hell of a lot to do, really. It's just, it's like...
I would agree with you, Nick, but this is a film about a killer doll, so what we're really here to see is,
death.
Is the doll kill people.
Blood.
And
kills.
We get that in spades.
And see, and here's where you're finally going to hear the fucking theme, all right?
Shut up! Shut up!
I can't stand when movies can't follow their own logic with any consistency, and that's what this film does in spades. The doll is seen so many times, and you're exactly right, it's animatronic, so it walks like basically a robot from the 90s walks, like that really slow, robotic kind of shamble where it has no speed. But then other times in the movie, because the plot requires him to be, Chucky is a motherfucking ninja who can fly around and do all sorts of fucking crazy shit and move super fast and shit. It doesn't make any logical fucking sense, and it's stupid.
This is a film called Child's Play.
I don't care if it's a film called Child's Play. It still has to work. It still has to have
its
own logical...
It doesn't have to work.
No, it does. It has to have logic,
just because,
and it has
just
to
because
apply
you don't,
it.
Just because you don't see it doing it with the time with the children doesn't mean it can't do it. We're led to believe early on that this thing is technologically advanced.
It's not. It's fucking stupid. It moves and shambles like a goddamn 90s robot. Like, I saw toys in the 90s that used to walk like this fucking doll walks. Because it's, I mean, like, it's like you said, it's practical effects, it's animatronic. And then all of a sudden, it goes fucking ninjutsu and it's flying around fucking like all sorts of shit, like running all over the place, moving really fucking fast. There's no indication that that fucking doll is slow and as dumb as it shambles with those stupid little squat legs it has. There's no way that that fucking thing could ever do any of the shit it does in this fucking movie.
Hashtag suspension of disbelief.
No, you can't
because
suspend.
It's
you
a
have
movie.
To buy into the
it's
logic of
movie.
The fucking movie.
The no,
you
movie
have
has
to,
no logic.
You
the
have
movie's
to establish
about a fucking
rules.
Killer doll.
You
don't
have
to do anything.
You can't
you don't
break
have,
them.
No, you don't. You don't.
You can't
you don't
make
have
the fucking
it.
Robot like do invincible shit depending on what the plot requires it to do.
It doesn't do invincible shit. It jumps like twice in the fucking movie. Spoiler alert.
That's not how it fucking works. That's not how fucking movies work. You have to establish
yes,
rules and then you can't fucking
yes,
break
they
them.
Are how, that's exactly how movies work. They work exactly how they want them to work. They can make the character do whatever
well,
they want whenever they want
stupid,
to make it.
And I hated it because of it.
That's so stupid.
It's fucking stupid. In one scene, it's like very slow and like shambolic. Like, you know, it can barely move on these
because
fucking
there's
tiny
no
little legs
reason
it has.
For it to do anything faster
And then the next fucking
that.
Scene, it's like sprinting across the fucking floor, like doing whatever. It doesn't make
Nick,
any fucking
that's
sense.
That's any killer doll movie. That's every killer doll movie.
And that's
Nick,
why all killer doll movies are fucking stupid.
That's why you're fucking stupid. You're not even... Dude, seriously. You have to think beyond... You have to think beyond that.
No, you don't have to think beyond it. You have to establish
yes,
fucking rules in the
no,
movie
you
and
don't.
Make it work. You
no,
have to make
you
it
don't.
Work.
You don't. You don't. You don't have to establish shit. The audience is not there for fucking rules to be established. The audience is there to be entertained, just like the Transformers movies.
All you have
just
to
like
do,
any
if,
other
you
movie.
To, if you want me to buy this,
no.
If you want me to buy this logically,
I don't
logically,
care if you buy it or not.
He,
I don't care if you buy
then
it.
When he
I'm
gets
saying,
the fucking doll, then what you need to see the doll doing when he first fucking buys it is moving around quickly, like... Holy cow, oh, Chucky, I didn't know you could move that quick or whatever.
But it,
like,
but it doesn't go evil.
You need to establish
but it
that
does
kind
not
of thing.
Go evil. It does not go evil until the most iconic moment in the
entire movie. It doesn't
fucking matter
if it goes fucking evil or not.
Stop.
Going evil
stop,
doesn't make it fucking
stop,
run fast.
Stop. Stop. Evil makes you go all kinds of
no,
crazy,
it fucking
motherfucker.
Doesn't. Jesus Christ.
How the fuck do you know? You don't know shit about being
okay,
evil.
Okay, can I
I'll stab
interject?
You to death being evil, and I'll be way faster stabbing you
Jesus
than if I was.
Jesus fucking Christ.
After I had, I'll tell you right now. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about, number one. Number
I know
two,
exactly what I'm talking about.
You don't. You have no idea what you're talking about. Number two, the most iconic thing in the movie is when he goes fucking evil. He goes evil to Texas Chainsaw motherfucking part two. And then he grabs a knife after watching it. And I fucking love that satire. And I love the fact that after he watches it, that's when he starts going crazy. That's when he wants to start killing. And they don't establish anything early on saying the doll can't go fast. They don't say anything about the
they
the,
show
the slowness.
It so many times, barely like it can barely
not,
move
that
on those
matter.
Legs.
That doesn't matter that it can't go faster, Nick. It's like showing a car going 30 miles per hour on the fucking highway.
No, it's
does
not
that mean it,
because you can tell
mean,
a car can do
it,
that.
Hold on. No. Does that mean showing a car on the highway going 30 miles per hour that it can't go 60? No, you're wrong. It doesn't
it's not
show
a fucking
that at all.
Car.
It doesn't prove that at all. It's a dude. It's a fucking mechanical item. It's just like my fucking iPad sitting there. Just because I'm sitting there without Wi-Fi, does that mean it can't go as fast as it can on Wi-Fi? Bullshit. Fucking bullshit.
Can I interject? I'm sorry. Both of you keep using the phrase "fucking stupid." This is child's play we're talking about. So, what we want to see in these movies is a killer doll killing people. I don't care about the rules or the internal logic. I want to see blood and guts. I want to see inventive kills. I want to hear Mark Hamill's voice coming out of the doll. And I'm happy. And can we talk about how amazing these kills are? Because we keep focusing on the internal logic of the doll. We're going to lose out.
When in reality, there's no internal logic about a doll being possessed by either evil technology or, in the original, an evil serial killer being possessed in the doll.
I give it a pass because... It's a B horror movie. Like that's what it is. You see the Orion Pictures logo at the beginning of the movie and you go, okay.
It's the first thing you see. The first thing you see. That's any indication. Now, Nick, we know this is not your thing. I get it. I know you don't like any of the Child's Play movies in general, but coming from someone that's seen like a million fucking Evil Doll movies, this is one of the better ones. And I hate to hate on you, but you're trying to find logic in a movie that doesn't have logic in the first place. None of these movies do, because they're not meant to have that. They're horror movies. They're meant to literally be there to entertain people, to get you from point A to point B. They're a thrill ride.
And well, that's the problem. They don't get me from point A to point B. They take me from point A, and then they stop. And then
because
they take
you're
me to
thinking
point C,
entirely
and then
way
they take
too
me
much
back
about
to point
them.
A. All you have to do the barest minimum of things. It's not like I can't be a
it's
fan.
It's an evil doll.
Of a schlocky
it's enhanced
B-movie.
By technology, and it's going to kill people. That's all you really need out of it.
Like I said,
there's nothing more than you need out of it.
You're trying to make a point that, like, I can't enjoy a schlocky B movie. I most certainly can. I absolutely can. You have to do the bare minimum. The bare minimum of just... No, it didn't. It didn't for me. So I don't fucking care. It didn't.
I fucking care. And you're wrong about it. I think that in the end, the film delivered exactly what fans needed, and especially Child's Play fans. And I'm very happy to see that so many people are actually very warm to this movie. So many people were shitting on this movie before it was released, especially the hardcore fans, just because, oh, well, Don Mancini's not part of it. I get it. I understand why you're upset over that. Oh, well, Brad Dourif's not back as the voice. I get it. I understand. The design sucks. I get it. But in the end, the movie delivers what I paid my admission. I actually paid for this one.
But what I need to believe as a moviegoer is that that doll could execute those awesome kills in the movie. If I can't believe that as a moviegoer, you have failed as a movie maker. If I can't believe that that doll can do those things and can execute those kills, then I'm taken out of the movie. And that's what it was for me.
So don't ever watch anything. So don't watch any movie, Nick, ever that has anything to do with dolls, because you'll be completely disappointed. Ever.
Don't watch movies in general.
If you're trying to find internal logic in a Child's Play movie, Nick, I don't even know what to tell you.
Like I said, movie has to be able to establish that the doll can do those things, and I don't believe it. Based on what
I
was
this is
shown
where
in the movie,
we fundamentally disagree, and I think we need to move on from this because we're just going to keep rehashing the same point over and over.
Well, stop fucking bringing it up.
I'm the one wanting to move on from this, and
so let's
get
to kills.
I want to talk about the kills, because no matter how ridiculous the setup, they're all great.
Amazing. God damn it. Like, how often, Loisos, do we see kills this great? Definitely a huge throwback to the 80s, which they knew.
So is it the first kill in the movie? That's the, well, spoilers. We build up
We're going in.
Walls.
We're going in.
Oh.
Barely
Tear
anyone
down
watched
this
movie.
Wall. Tear it down. Reagan smash. Reagan smash.
Barely anyone saw this movie, and it's going up against Annabelle this weekend.
It's
going
to drop like a stone.
It will,
office.
Unfortunately. But yes, the first kill, it takes a while to get there. And that was my main criticism of the movie, is the first act is extremely slow. We see Andy walking to school, then coming back to school in the same scene like a bunch of times, which made no sense to me. But when we finally get the first kill, when we see that stepdad or boyfriend, the mom's boyfriend, get his, it's so great. It's so satisfying.
Well, the setup is confusing because he comes home to his family so that we know that he's an asshole and we want to see him die.
Well, yeah, he pulls up. Yeah, we get that side view.
He's a cheating bastard. So he goes out to take down Christmas decorations, and in his front yard is a swimming pool and a watermelon patch, which, what?
Sure.
He be racist, mofucka.
Was that established that he was racist? Were they trying to do a thing?
That seemed to me as, you know, imagery confirming such, but that just was my observation.
My observation was, who owns a watermelon patch in their front yard?
Well, it's his backyard.
Okay.
Well, it's his backyard.
It's his backyard.
Yeah, no one has a watermelon patch in their front yard, right? I wish I did, though, because I'd be eating watermelon like a motherfucker. But for me, I think the kills are established perfectly. There's a great amount of suspense and build up to them when they do happen. I was waiting the whole fucking time for it to finally happen. When it did, I feel like after that first kill happened, and it gave me that gruesome brutality and the actual 80s style gore that I live for.
No CGI blood that I could
see. No, real actual practical gore. Now, I know, Nick, that this is where you're going to come in and be like, okay, I liked that. Because I'm sure you did, because that scene was very well done. And that was like, okay, this is why I'm here. This is exactly why I'm here. I just want to see the doll kill motherfuckers. And when they kill them, if it's done well, then I'm happy. And I feel like that first kill ramped the movie up. And I was like, okay, I'm in finally, because I'm not going to lie to you guys. Up until that first kill, I was kind of questioning where I was at in the movie. And I was like, I don't really know if this is going to work for me.
Well, that's because the first half of the movie spends a lot of time, like, it keeps randomly, and this is one of the biggest problems I had with the script of this film, is it keeps dropping in random side characters. Like
the neighborhood kids and stuff
like that. Like the one neighborhood kid who, like, Chucky goes and becomes his buddy doll or whatever. Like, he's like, where did that kid even come from? Like, all of a sudden he was like a part of the movie and he wasn't even in it for like the first half of it. And like, who are the two like random people he meets at the apartment building that all of a sudden are like his best friends? And like,
they walk up to him in the hallway.
Like, I get that. But the problem is they don't even do any kind of establishment of any kind of relationship between the characters. Like, literally, and they meet him, and then literally in the next scene, they're showing up at his house and he leaves with them. It's like you've got to actually show us like a scene of them becoming friends, you know? Like, you don't even buy like that. There's no care or concern put into development of these characters whatsoever. Not even the smallest shred of it. And I don't care.
I met a dude at the gas station earlier, and the dude came over to my house and had a drink earlier, smoked a bowl on my porch. I mean.
So it makes these characters. It's a 90-minute movie, and it has all these ancillary characters in it that are just wastes of screen time.
Well, they're either victims to add to the body count, you know, or they're the kids. I mean, you have your mother character played by Aubrey Plaza. You have Brian T. Henry playing Detective Mike Norris, and the rest are victims, really. So. You have to establish a body count in these films. Again, the film called Child's Play. So
you keep going back to that, and I totally agree with that. I feel like all the kills were great. One of my favorite sequences in the entire movie is way later on, after Andy's like in total, he's in total craze mode, where he's like, Chucky's fucking trying to kill everyone. No one believes him. And I like that, because that's like kind of the thing you do, where you have someone that's like out of their mind and no one believes them. And it adds that disbelief to all the other characters. And they're in the store for the release of the Buddy 2. And that was us, for me, was one of the best sequences in the entire movie. Pure brutality. It's fucking gruesome. When that blood sprays all over that little girl's face, and she's like,
See, that's where the film really started to get exciting for me.
I'm really mad those drones didn't kill more people.
I know.
I wanted
the
drones to kill. Like, I wanted them to, like, fly through and, like, chop off the top of a bunch of people's heads.
I wanted to see a bunch of heads chopped off. Yes, I agree. But I took what I could get with that blood spraying on that girl's face. I just stood up and I was like, yes, finally, brutality towards children in cinema like the way that deserves to be treated.
Yeah, whenever you see blood splatter on a small child in a film, that's when you know. This is quality entertainment right here.
And they're not pulling any punches. I mean, that's the thing for me. Nick, if you don't get the initial premise of the movie and you don't get what they're going for, nope, I understand that. It. But for me, I'm like, yo, I've watched plenty of fucking Evil Doll movies. Yo, seriously, like, give me all of them, motherfucker, and I'll enjoy every single one of them as long as they kill people and as long as those kills are good. And this movie definitely, they definitely took note, I think, that horror fans wanted something more out of the movie, and especially considering that the last two Chucky movies, well, I feel like Curse was good. Cult definitely failed
Chucky,
in a lot of ways.
Chucky became a parody of himself a long time ago.
Of course he
like
did.
Like a long, long time
in
ago.
In the second installment,
and
really.
I think we need to talk about this right now before we finish out the review, because this is a mini-sode of the new Child's Play film, but we need to get into this because this is one of the biggest things about the movie. Apparently, they screened this movie about 5 or 6 months ago with a different voice actor doing the voice of Chucky. It did not score well at all. People said they hated it. People were shitting all over it. And then they decided to spend a little money and get Mark Hamill in there. So this is the next question we have to talk about here on the show is, how did Mark Hamill do? I mean, they got a big name voice actor. I mean, we know him mostly as Luke Skywalker, but secondary is the voice of the fucking Joker. A lot of people consider his Joker like the top notch, like the Joker, like the best Joker of all time. So I just wanted to go around the horn here. And Nick, what did you think about Mark Hamill as the voice of Chucky?
He's good. He's good. You know what? And I like that. One of the biggest things that I really like when I just mentioned it, like that Chucky's just kind of, even in the first film, Chucky's basically just a parody of himself. Like, it's so over the top and ridiculous. Like, and the voice that Brad Dourif does for the character, it's like he'll go into that, like, where he's just like that guttural, like yelling and screaming and all that stuff. I like that they didn't do that with this character. Like, it almost still had an innocence about it the whole time. And that's kind of what I really liked, what Hamill did with it. It's a really, really interesting way to approach the character, and they did something completely different, which is what I was hoping they were going to do voice wise, because that's probably one of the things I hate the most about the other Chucky movies. Like, Chucky's voice, I can't stand it. So I really am glad that they did. And like I said, the character, the doll, even it kind of maintains the level of innocence, like even when it's doing like the really evil shit, like you kind of still buy it as like this innocent thing in a way still.
He has that kind of lilting, sing-songy, like, Andy, kind of that innocent voice that you want from the character.
I love the songs that they had him do. The songs that they had him do were really, really good.
The buddy song?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. It really speaks to Hamill's strength as a voice actor, that he's able to completely...
Yeah.
Make you buy into,
which is really great, because I think I watched an interview with somebody or something like that, where, you know, like 5 minutes into the movie, they mentioned that they couldn't tell it was even Hamill doing the voice anymore. And yeah, I completely did that as well. Like, there were moments where I just completely forgot that it was him voicing the character, which is good. And I mean, if you're somebody who's as iconic and if you're somebody who is as iconic a voice actor as Mark Hamill, that's what you want to be able to do with a role. A lot of fans, like, as soon as he was announced, they wanted him to just go in and do a Joker voice. And I watched an interview with Mark Hamill where he was like, that's not what it called for. That's not what I was going to do. And like I said, I really love what he did with the character.
Either do Joker or do an impression of Brad Dourif, basically, because Brad Dourif is so synonymous with the Chucky character that I imagine a lot of fans would have trouble separating the two. But this was such a different take, I felt, that
it wouldn't have fit. It wouldn't fit.
No, not with this take of the character, that's for sure.
Like, I may not like the voice in the other movies, but at least it makes sense, like, vis-a-vis the character.
So for me, overall, as someone that has grown up with all the Child's Play movies and someone that didn't really anticipate this that much, but I thought the trailers looked good, I was satisfied by what they delivered. It could have been a lot worse for me. I walked into this with no expectations, and I walked out and I had a fucking blast with this thing. I felt like the kills were great. I felt like there was a great sense of suspense. I thought it was shot very, very well. And Barry McCreary's score for the movie, fan-fucking-tastic. I love that, like, old-school-sounding, like, xylophone kids keyboard sounding score, whatever you want to call it. It harkened back to like the original score from the original movie, but it made it feel modern. And that's the thing about this movie that they are trying to do that I appreciate. They were trying to give a modern take on this story. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, it's not Child's Play unless a serial killer inhabits that doll. And I tend to disagree. All it really needs to be is a killer doll, and the doll in the shape of Chucky being Chucky and stabbing people with a knife. And just like the poster, he stabs people, and he stabs them hard, and there's lots of blood. And I laughed and cheered and yelled and clapped when he did so. And that's all I really need of a movie like this. It's not rocket science. It's fucking Child's Play.
There's one thing about this movie that really, really annoyed me, because it was the Ready Player One moment in this movie where... At the beginning of the movie, we're shown, like, there's this employee who's mistreated and he's getting fired. He just has to finish the last doll. So he goes into the code and he disables its, like, its violence inhibitors and all these things. Two things. Number one, why is the doll built with violence, like, inhibitions in the first place that have to be disabled by default? And number two, this thing's been out for over a year in the movie timeline. Nobody has hacked into this thing and decided to disable its violence inhibitors ever before. Like, I just, those kinds of things are just, like, really, like, the movie didn't need it, Like,
well, they definitely brushed over the origin of the Chucky doll. I think they just wanted to get it out of the way.
I think they just wanted to throw whatever they possibly could in there really, really quick. Like, why is the doll even manufactured with violence, like, whatever's in the first place that they then, through code, disable? And then this guy goes into the code thing, and he's just, like, disabling all the defenses and stuff. Why
are they even built into the doll in the first place? I'm just saying, my iPad's burned my face before, so... I mean, maybe it did it on purpose because I was talking shit. I don't know.
I mean, it probably did, but I mean, that's my Ready Player One moment of the movie. Like, why didn't they drive backwards on the racetrack?
I'll say this much.
Why the fuck is the doll built that way?
My Ready Player One moment of the movie is when the kid has posters on his wall that he probably would never have on his wall. His friend, when he goes to his friend's house, the fat kid, when he has like a Killer Clowns from Outer Space poster on his wall, and he's got a Poltergeist 3 poster on his wall, and I'm like... No motherfucking kid now would have those posters on their wall unless their dad was like me. If the kid's dad was me, that motherfucker would have those posters on his wall, but I highly doubt that kid would have those posters. But I kind of liked the fact that he had them on the wall in the long run. I'm telling you this again. I loved how the doll gets evil. The doll fucking watches Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2. Even though they showed a bunch of clips that are out of sequence, they just show a bunch of random clips over and over again. And that's how the doll gets evil and goes to the kitchen and grabs a knife. And then you see his awesome silhouette on the wall with the knife. I'm like, fuck yes. I don't care how he gets the knife. That was so epic for me. So, guys, we got to move on to ratings, though. For me, this movie worked totally. It could have been better, but overall, I think that it was a vast improvement over a lot of the Chucky sequels. So, Nick, let's get you out of the way. Let's just push you out of this equation here. You've never liked a Child's Play movie to begin with, so I get it. I'm not hating on you. I still love you.
I think this is better than most of them. Probably all of them.
No, it's better than a lot of them. I'm not going to lie to you. It's better than a lot of them.
But still, it's a 4.
Okay. Lysos, what do you got for me, buddy?
Well, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10, because I had a really great time with it. Aside from a few things... I do think it takes too long to get going. There are a few things that made me scratch my head and go, no. Like the fact that whenever Chucky is glitching out, you see Chucky's point of view, his perspective, Chucky vision, I guess. And there's like static. And I'm like, there ain't no static in modern technology, you know?
Right. It's kind of like when you have cell phones in movies, but they have the like the busy signal, like the beep, 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 beep thing, but cell phones don't do that.
They don't do that anymore, yeah.
Right. So
at all.
Also, the whole watermelon patch thing I'm still stuck on. But so there are a few things here and there that made me go,
You know why the watermelon patch was in the movie? Just so the detective could make the joke about the white guy getting killed in a watermelon patch, because that's the only reason the watermelon patch is in the movie.
But tell me, how amazing was it that the kids... got the head, and they fucking wrapped it, and they gave it to the lady down the hall. Blaisos, as a horror fan, this should be a B-side, I'm telling you. How amazing was that sequence? And then the kid goes to dinner.
I pretty much laughed when he wakes up and he finds the face stapled to the fucking watermelon. That was funny.
He finds the face stapled to the watermelon, and then later on he has to go to this nice old African-American lady's house. So he can try to retrieve it. Then he does, and he throws it down in the dumpster. And I also love when that giant, fat piece of shit dirtbag is basically the Jack Black wannabe is molesting the doll. The kills are just so fucking great in this movie. So I'm moving on. I'm going to go in lock and step with you, Lysos. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10. I thought it was good. I had no expectations for this movie. I thought the trailer looked good.
I love the all the hidden cameras he had. But some of the camera placements made no sense. Like the camera's like right on the kitchen table in the detective's mom's house.
I noticed that too,
like, dude. How greaseball was this motherfucker? He's got cameras set up for Aubrey Plaza to take a shower, and you know damn well they showed actual footage of her. Like, all right, Aubrey, we know this is not something you're not going to get fully nude in this scene, but we want you to go half dressed.
Oh,
We got to see your behind. So this guy, and she legit did it. So overall, I was happy with the movie. I thought the score was good. I thought the cinematography, as you touched on earlier in our discussion pre-show, Lysos, the lighting was perfect. I thought it was very good for what it was. Nick, I think you're wrong about this movie, but I understand where you're coming from. 7 out of 10 for me. I thought Child's Play was a good remake. And actually, even though I know it's not doing that great at the box office, I hope to see more from that team.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So what did you think of Child's Play 2019. If you watch the film, Patrick Sherwood, go see it. Patrick Sherwood's like a schlocky horror fan too. Like, he'd love the kills in it, but he seems to be one of those diehards,
Nick,
that won't see it.
I gave him some shit. As soon as he posted the stuff in the dumpster, I actually immediately messaged him and said, "Shut the fuck up!" Like, legit said that to him. Here's my thing. A lot of people gave this movie shit before they even saw it, and just like anything else, Nick. And you know what? I'm gonna give you a lot of credit right now, and I'm gonna give you a high five through the microphone right now, because you actually took the time to watch this movie.
Yeah, I went and saw
it. That means a lot to me, and it means a lot to Loisauce that you actually spent your time watching this movie, unlike a lot of fans that are like, I'm not watching it, and they just gave various reasons why they're not going to watch it. Give it a chance, dude. You can't judge anything until you actually sit down to watch it front to back.
The kills are enjoyable enough for a schlocky... Like, if you're somebody, especially like you guys, that just loves your really schlocky B horror movies, you'll get something out of it.
Again, it's a movie about a killer doll. I mean, this is not Shakespeare, and again, this is not Halloween. This is not even Jason Voorhees, if you will.
It's not Hereditary.
No, it's definitely not. But I mean, people that are hating on this movie without even seeing it, I say to you, go fuck yourself. You don't have the right to criticize a movie until you go watch it. You can say, I refuse to watch this movie for A, B, and C reasons, but don't go sitting online and talking shit about it until you sit down to watch it. I think a lot of fans that had reservations about it, that were upset about it, went and watched it, and mostly were pretty happy about it.
And even critics enjoyed it. Although, if they were complaining about the look of the doll being awful, I would agree with them.
No, we all agree, Nick. I think this is something that we can all agree on. Roundtable, the doll looked like shit. I don't know where they were coming from.
No child would want to buy that doll. Like, I just think for the interconnectivity, like the fact that it can control all the devices in your home and stuff, that's great. Like, I think people would love it for that aspect of it, but nobody's buying this thing because it's one's going to be your special friend. That thing is a fucking nightmare. You'd have nightmares about that shit if you were a child.
Right. I mean, does it have a hole in its ass?
Those dead soulless eyes. And here's, you know, one other thing about the doll. Why can't you turn it off? Right. Like, it seems like they can't even turn it off. Like, it doesn't have an on and off switch or anything. Like, the only way they kill the one thing, or the only way that it turns off, is they rip the fucking battery, like the core, out of it. Like,
well, the original had that great scene where the mother character discovers that there's no batteries in it. You know, there's no batteries in the doll. And this movie needed a scene like that in the film.
Yeah, because there's the one night, like, he's trying to sleep and, like, Chucky's just standing there at his bedside, which is super fucking creepy. And, like, the kid's even, like, trying to make a joke of it. Like, stop being so creepy or whatever. But, like, you can't just power the doll down. Like, you can't just shut it off. Like, why is it always on?
Because movie.
Because movie. Hashtag movie. It's a movie. Hashtag doll movie. Hashtag Nick hates all Child's Play movies. Hashtag Nick should never watch another doll movie again. Hashtag.
But that is it, ladies and gentlemen. We really appreciate you sticking around for this extended back and forth discussion about Child's Play 2019. Go see it.
I like your use of the word extended.
Extended.
And you know, I think, considering the Annabelle's out, the third Annabelle movie, I think, considering Nick loved a doll movie so much, we should just make him go see another doll movie.
That combines two of the things that I hate the most. It combines doll movies with fucking like psychics and shit, like your spiritual mediums, whatever the fuck the Warrens pretended to be. Like, I can't fucking even deal with that shit even more. I think I have logical problems with this movie. Wait till I watch that piece of shit.
What do you mean? Yeah, sure they were. Oh my God.
Well,
you're trying to ruin my religion here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we really, really appreciate you sticking around, like I said, for the review of Child's Play. Follow us over on social media, Hopester's Dumpster, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Epic Film Guys. Find us over on the podcatcher of your choice, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, Spreaker, over on Podbean, who we love. Day one of live stream for the cure, all the stuff for day one of live stream for the cure is now live. I got it all over, clipped out to segments on YouTube, so I can start publishing that stuff out on the audio feed as well. And, go back. If you didn't get a chance, we celebrated the 30th anniversary of Batman 1989. Justin and I did our top 10 moments wherein we instantly and immediately realized 10 was not enough.
There was no way to do that properly.
I want to give the film into 10 pieces, though, Nick.
I want to give a huge thanks to every single person that has given it a listen so far. We've gotten a lot of coverage for it. My buddy Paul, a.k.a. Al Rowell from BatmanOnline.com, he immediately shared it. A lot of people are sharing it in the Michael Keaton is Batman fan group. A lot of people are loving the hell out of it. I've gotten a lot of positive comments about it. People are saying they love that intro. And just to be clear, I spent a lot of time sending those vintage clips to Nick, and Nick spent even more time editing those clips to make that fucking intro as epic as possible. I fucking
like
cried.
Three fucking hours.
I'm not even kidding. I cried. It's such a great intro. And you texted me and you're like, oh, this will take me no time. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, this took me 3 hours. So
it took me longer to do the intro than it did to edit the show together. The rest of the show, it was.
That's how much we both love that movie. That's how much we both care about that movie.
But it was like, I really, really wanted it to be something special for the intro. So I had to get the music like literally perfect. And it was literally me shifting time codes and fading things in different spots by like a half a second, quarter of a second.
No, it's perfect.
Just trying
to get
it to match. But
goosebumps up my fucking spine.
I really, really appreciate it. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm glad that everybody out there is really, really enjoying it. We love that movie. Please go back and listen to that if you want to celebrate it.
It's the summer of the bat. It's the summer of the bat, though. Like the whole summer. Listen to that episode. It's the summer of 1989. So
we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, next week with a full episode. Nothing even comes out this week that we're going to
see. Well, me and Lois also be talking about Annabelle, another killer doll movie.
Jesus Christ.
I'd also like to touch on Men in Black International because I have a lot to say about that.
Oh, God. That movie no one saw but you.
It was so bad.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I chose to see Chucky, a movie I pretty much knew. I tried to go in with an open mind, but I knew I would probably hate it. I still chose to see it over Men in Black International.
That just goes to show how little people wanted to go see Men in Black International. Fuck.
So, poor episode 200, we've got a lot of voicemails already. Keep those voicemails coming in. FanView's line, we're dusting it off just for this one special episode. It's not coming back like full time or anything, but 607-444-1473, 607-444-1473. Or if you're a podcaster and you want to record us a clip, Emily from The Story Behind did that. And I really appreciate it. I haven't listened to them. I'm not going to listen to them. Nobody else has listened to them. We're going to play them live on the air so all of us can listen to them together during our 200th episode celebration. Plus, Nick's watch list. I watched the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy. We'll talk about that, even though I feel like condensing 11 and a half hours of movie into a couple minutes is going to be tough. Whatever. And lots of other fun stuff, hopefully, we'll put together for the 200th episode. I know words. I can do words good. I have words. I have the best words.
Who said that?
I just broke Loy Sauce's heart. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much out there for listening. We love you. We appreciate you, Loy Sauce.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks, gentlemen, for having me on the show today.
I just wanted to play.
I love to hear that.
I just wanted to play your sound drop. That's all. Justin doesn't have a sound drop, so I don't play anything for him.
Thank you so much for listening to the Epic Film Guys podcast. And until next week, we'll see you at the movies.